My reflection this morning is entitled Hidden and Mixed In. And as I begin, I offer this prayer. Creator God, together may we search for the secrets waiting to be unlocked in this morning's scripture, for the wisdom to discern your meaning for us in these days of uncertainty, and for the patience to look again and again when the answers we seek aren't always right where we expected them to be, and weren't the ones we were expecting to find. May your presence continue to be felt, and your steadfast love be celebrated. Amen. I started as a supply minister after I retired. Yes, that would have been my second time trying to step away from ministry. And over these years, I have been through the 3-year cycle of lectionary readings 3 times. That means that I have delivered a reflection on today's gospel passage 2 other times before, and I will admit it was really tempting to pull out one of them and offer it again. For my 2 colleagues sitting here who are in ministry, you know what that's like, that challenge to pick up something that you've already written and go, yeah, I could use that again. And as I'm saying, well, I've gone through this a couple of times. Timothy, how many times might you have gone through the lectionary over the years? Just don't judge, okay? The one thing that I have enjoyed about crafting worship throughout this time has been the challenge to look again at Bible passages and find ways to share my own personal thoughts while adding in those of the thoughts of other much wiser and biblically literate people. I will, though, use a couple of references to those other reflections and will endeavor to mix all of this together with the hope of finding some meaning that, at least for me, has been hidden in these parables from Matthew. The first time I sat with this particular passage, I was at Dominion Chalmers, and it was the summer of 2020. Do you remember that year? The year we experienced firsthand how something incredibly small as a mustard seed or a grain of yeast, could grow rapidly into a destructive force that consumed the attention and resources of the whole world. It was hard to focus on anything else. That was the center of everything that happened in our day. And it was a struggle to talk about the positive things that small things can grow into. The second time was 2023, and I was here in this very pulpit filling in for a holidaying Anthony shortly after I had said that I would stay for 3 more years after being your supply minister for 9 months. We were still struggling with the lasting effects of COVID and trying to find ways back to what we saw as normal, longing for the good old days. I shared this quote from theologian Dr. Michael Chan. All those Sundays when we prayed, "Your kingdom come," well, it's here. And to borrow from Amos's own words in chapter 5, verse 8, "It is darkness, not light, and gloom with no brightness in it. We are reaping a harvest of our own planting. But in this field of sorrows, God's kingdom is present and awaiting joyful discovery," as we hear in Matthew 13:44. Christ's words of reconciliation, forgiveness, and liberation arise in the midst of judgment. At least it should. And so, as I look once more at these 5 parables, I look outward to the world around, and I am overwhelmed once more by the underlying anxiety that is summed up in the theme that Huda and I set as our intention for the weeks when we would lead worship. Is there enough? Is there enough money in the budget to keep our programs running, to cover the salaries of staff and the increasing operating costs? Is there enough energy left in us at the end of a long week to care for our families? is there enough space, enough safety, enough time? We look at the declining numbers in our church pews across the country, and we look at the overwhelming systemic crises in our world, wars and threats of war, genocide and tariffs, and a heavy sense of scarcity creeps into our bones. We begin to believe the lie that what we have and who we are is simply not enough. But as we listen to the scripture, we are once more met by Jesus right where we are now, today, in this moment, in what for many might be anxious space. And this cluster of parables is offered to radically redefine how we measure abundance. You see, Jesus suggests that the kingdom of God does not operate as the world operates, on an economy of scarcity. Instead, God's grace works in the places we least expect to show us that even when we think we have nothing left, there is always more than enough. I'm a great fan of the Irish poet John O'Donohue, and these are his words. The sacred is not somewhere else, in some distant world. It is hidden and mixed in right into the fabric of our everyday existence, waiting for us to notice. There's a lot to digest in our Matthew passage. The parable of the mustard seed sounds a lot like the parable of the sower from weeks ago. But this time, the focus is not on the soil or the seed, but on what grows from the planting. The parable of the yeast teases from our memories the feeding of the 5,000. Again, the focus is on how far a tiny bit of yeast can go in making large amounts of food. I personally have vivid memories of wild mustard seeds taking hold and growing in our grain fields on the farm that I grew up on. And let me tell you, they are an invasive, stubborn weed. And at this time of the year, when the grain fields were green and there were spots of yellow throughout, after a rainy afternoon, my father would send my brother and I out into the grain fields to pull the mustard, with the admonishment to be careful not to pull out the grain, which my brother often did and was often sent to the house. I did listen to instructions, so I have pulled a lot of mustard in my life. The other thing was to grasp it firmly and to make sure you got all of the roots, because as I said, mustard is tenacious. It was that way in Jesus' time as well. And by using this image, he could explain to the farmers in his midst how something as small as a mustard seed could take hold and grow into something strong and tenacious, and with the hope that they would recognize that the small seeds that God had planted in them could become an unstoppable, strong, invasive grace. Jesus points to the weed grown from a tiny seed, and talks about how God's love can break through the parched ground of our anxious living and, like that stubborn plant, grow exactly where it is not expected, creating an abundance of shelter, safety, and shade for absolutely everyone. Jesus continues and gives us the image of a woman mixing yeast into 3 measures of flour. 3 measures of flour is roughly 40, or as Ted said this morning, 60 kilograms of flour. That's a lot of flour. Enough to bake bread to feed an entire village. She takes a tiny pinch of yeast and hides it inside the dough, and then proceeds to mix it in. She kneads it, working it with the warmth of her hands and the strength of her convictions. It seems inconceivable that the dough will rise, but the yeast works quietly, invisibly, from the inside out, until the entire batch is transformed. For those of us who bake, This illustration captures our imagination and becomes something to hold on to when we feel overwhelmed by the scale of the world's problems. Activist and writer Parker Palmer captures this tension perfectly with these words. We need to learn how to stand in the tragic gap between the way things are and the way we know they ought to be, and work from the inside out. How then do we as church, as the people of Parkdale United, do that? Work from the inside out. When we show up for a grieving neighbor, when we stand up for local justice, or when we simply offer an open, listening ear, we are mixing God's love into the world. These little things work quietly, often hidden from view, lifting the heaviness and bringing new life. In God's hands, all of our small offerings are blessed and multiplied until there is enough for all. This is all part of the kingdom of God, and when we catch a glimpse of this kingdom, this wild, invasive, transforming love, it changes everything. God's abundance is already here, hidden and mixed into our lives. In the next two parables, Jesus compares it to stumbling upon a treasure hidden in a field or discovering a priceless pearl and the joy those discoveries bring. Henry Nouwen once wrote, "Joy does not simply happen to us. We have to choose joy and keep choosing it every day." For me, choosing joy also means choosing the kingdom every day and finding it in the small, everyday, ordinary things that I encounter because I encounter them with God. It means trusting that my relationship with God is worth more than anything else I could possess or pursue. The treasure hidden in the field reminds me that discipleship is not about what I have to lose. It's about discovering what I could never find anywhere else. The parable of the fishing net is for me the most sobering one of the five, as Jesus reminds us that just as we walk daily with God, we are also accountable to God for where and how we walk through our lives. In a world driven by scarcity, too often, people try to sort out who belongs and who doesn't. We divide, exclude, ration grace, fearing that if we are too generous with others, there won't be enough for us. A fishing net doesn't discriminate. It pulls in everything. But it is not up to us to do the sorting. Our only task is to trust that God's net is large enough, God's table wide enough, and God's love abundant enough to hold all of the beautiful, messy diversity of all human life. Our passage ends with Jesus speaking of the disciple who, like the owner of a house, brings out of his storeroom new treasure as well as old. Now, maybe it's because I've been in ministry for 42 years and have been a part of many different and varied congregations, or maybe it's simply because I am old. But I find this image deeply encouraging. It reminds me that faith is always growing. As the years have passed, I find that I appreciate the wisdom of Scripture, the richness of the church's traditions, and the seemingly countless times that God continues to tease out ways of revealing his kingdom in new and exciting circumstances and opportunities. As St. John Henry Newman wisely observed, to live is to change, and to be perfect is to change often. My understanding of God, my faith, has deepened over time, not because the gospel has changed, but because Christ continues to shape my heart in new ways, and the kingdom continues to invite me into it encouraging me to trust small beginnings, to believe that God is working in me even if I cannot see it, and to recognize that nothing compares to the gift of being led by Christ. May we all continue to find the patience of the farmer who trusts the seed, the mindfulness to recognize hidden treasure when we find it, and the courage to let go of whatever keeps us from following the path laid out by Jesus wholeheartedly, because if we can do that, then maybe the kingdom of God is already taking root and growing hidden and mixed in each of us, quietly, steadily, and by God's grace, transforming us into the disciples God is calling us to be. May it be so. Amen.